Blog Talk Radio.
How can you forgive me when I've often gone astray? How can you think of me when I do things my way, turning my back from you, the one who loved me first, having my own desires, renewing worldly thirst? You told me you loved me, and I should make up my mind. Tell me, come back now, but I keep wasting time, feeling so very weak. You say I can be strong, I feel I've gone too far. You tell me to come home.
Hallelujah, glory to God. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, Power Lunch with Jesus in the Word. This is your hostess, Evangelist Teresa Scott. Glory to God. I'd like to welcome you all here today. Hallelujah, so that we can spend our lunchtime in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. If you don't know it, I'm here to tell you today that Jesus is Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And Jesus wants everybody that willingly wants to go with him to heaven. He wants you to go. He wants you to go. He wants me to go. He wants all of us to go. But we know that not everybody's going to go. But it's our job to offer Jesus to those that don't even think they want Jesus. But we want to offer Jesus to him anyway. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Just like the song, I was just listening to the song, and the song was saying, I'm running back to you. No, and the Father is just there waiting for us. We're running back to him, and he's just standing there waiting to receive us. And there are people who are listening and who will be listening in the archives who tried Jesus. They tried him for a little bit, but, you know, they didn't think Jesus had any benefits to offer them. They didn't think, you know, Jesus had anything to give them that was good. The world, you know, was offering them better things. So they went back out there into the world, and now they're lost. But I tell you what, Jesus is even there for you. Jesus is even there for you. He's right there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All you have to do is accept him into your heart. All you have to do is confess it with your mouth and believe that thing in your heart. Believe that God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him, whoever, it doesn't matter whether you're atheist, whether you're Buddhist, whether you're an unbeliever, you backslidden, it doesn't matter. It said, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, number one, that means you believe that Jesus was crucified on our behalf. He took our sins upon him. He took what we deserve. Jesus took that punishment, he took that upon himself. Every sin we could possibly do, Jesus took that upon himself, but he wants us to believe on him. He wants us to believe that he did that for us, and not just believe that he did that for us, but now act like he did that for us. Act like he did that for us. By faith, we got to start be living a new life. We got to start living a holy life. We got to start living a righteous life. Does that mean that we're holy and we're without sin? Not at all. We read that the other day, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Hallelujah. So we know that there is nobody perfect on this earth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But we do know that we have the power of the Holy Ghost. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you can ask the Father for the Holy Ghost, and he will give it to you. Hallelujah. Because the Word of God says no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. So we need the power of the Holy Ghost, because the Bible tells us to mortify the deeds of our flesh by the Spirit. And some of us out here trying to work this thing out in the natural, and it's done by the Spirit. Hallelujah. And the Word of God, believe it or not, is Spirit. And the Word of God is life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And don't you know, hallelujah, that God, hallelujah, don't you know that God is wise in his own self? God is, he had this thing so planned out for us that he's like, you know what? These are the creation that I made. I want a relationship with my creation. I want a relationship with Teresa. I want a relationship with Gerald. I want a relationship with my people. I created them. And I made them in my image. Yes, they sinned. Yes, they were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. But I made them in my image. I want to fellowship with them. I want this. So he sent away. He saw all in the Old Testament. If you go back and read the Old Testament, you read how they were doing sacrifices. They were making sacrifices. The priests had to make sacrifices. The priests had to go in and pray for the people. You know, they had to bring animal sacrifices. But they had to keep doing that over and over again every year. They had to keep making sacrifices. Hallelujah. But today, the final sacrifice was made, and that sacrifice was Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. When Jesus gave his life on Calvary, when Jesus, before he even went to the cross, when he was accused, he was lied on, he was spit upon, he was beat, he took those stripes. It says, by his stripes we are healed. Glory to God. We are healed from sin. We are healed from unrighteousness. We are healed from our transgressions. We are healed from iniquity. We are healed, hallelujah, from sin, all manner of sin. We are healed because of the sacrifice of Jesus. We're healed in our bodies from sickness and disease. We are healed, glory to God, because of what Jesus did, what Yahshua HaMashiach did, what he did, hallelujah, glory to God, on his way to the cross and on that cross, and when he went to, when he died, hallelujah, and he went to hell, hallelujah, and he set captivity captive, hallelujah, glory to God, and he took the keys to hell, death, and the grave, hallelujah, so that those of us, we know that if we believe in him and we are born again and we're walking in righteousness and true holiness, glory to God, that when Jesus come at that last trump, when that trumpet sounds and he cracks that sky, hallelujah, if we are physically dead in the grave, hallelujah, that we will wake up, our bodies will rise up to meet him in the air, hallelujah. But if we are alive and remain, we shall be caught up, hallelujah, to meet him. Glory to God, hallelujah. What a promise the word of God gives us, hallelujah, that if we are alive and remain, we shall be caught up, hallelujah, to meet him, hallelujah, caught up to meet Jesus, hallelujah, glory to God. What a promise. I get excited just thinking about it, hallelujah, that if I close my eyes, I can just think, hallelujah, I can just see, glory to God, hallelujah, me rising up to meet my Savior, the one that died for me, the one that gave his life for me, hallelujah, glory to God, the one that took those stripes, hallelujah, that I might be healed, hallelujah, that I might be brought into right relationship with, hallelujah, the Father, glory to God. And that same Jesus is sitting in heaven, hallelujah, right now on the right hand of the Father, hallelujah, interceding for us, hallelujah, glory to God, hallelujah, that we might be able to make it in, glory to God, hallelujah, glory to God. He's making intercession for us right now because, you know, Satan, he's walking about to and fro. He's going to and fro. He's an accuser of the brethren. He want to accuse us of everything. Every time we make a mistake, every time we do something that is not right, he wants to accuse us and say, see, you know what she did. She's a liar. You know she wasn't going to live right, God. You know she said she was going to do this, and God, you know he said he was going to do that, and look at them, God. They can't even do what they say they're going to do. So he's an accuser of their brethren, but we have an advocate, glory to God, today, hallelujah. We have an advocate with the Father, and his name is Jesus. His name is Yahshua HaMashiach. His mama named him Yahshua, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the translators have called them Jesus, hallelujah. But he knows who we're talking about, whether we say Yahshua or Jesus, glory to God, hallelujah. But we have an advocate with, hallelujah, the Father, and that's through Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus. Hallelujah. We have an advocate with the Father. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So if you've known Jesus, if you come to know Jesus, if you came, if you went to the altar and you said you gave your life to Jesus Christ, hallelujah. If you went to the altar and you repented of your sins, glory to God. If you went to the altar and said, you know what? I want to live for Jesus. Hallelujah. And you did all of that, and you were going to Bible study, and you were going to prayer, and you were going to Sunday school, and you were listening to the preachers, and you got baptized, glory to God. God, hallelujah, you did all of that, but somewhere in your life you backslid. Somewhere in your life you said, you know, I can't do this no more. Somewhere in your life you started hanging around with the people you used to hang around with, you know, the ones that smoke and drink and party all night long, you know, and go out and do this and go out and do this, the things that we as becoming saints are no longer supposed to do. If you went out and you now that's what you do, and you're ready to give your life back to Jesus, don't you know you can do that right now? Don't you know that the opportunity is given to you right now? Don't you know that you don't have to wait, hallelujah, until something tragic happens to you or your family? Don't you know you don't have to wait until you're sitting at a young person's funeral, that you can give your life to Jesus Christ right now, hallelujah? Because I'm reminded of the song that we used to sing when I was a little girl in the church at the altar call. They would say, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus right now, right now. Come to Jesus right now. Why? Because he will save you. Hallelujah. He will save you. God will forgive you of your sins if you repent. God will forgive you of your sins if you confess to him that you have sinned. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And not go to him and say, well, you know, so-and-so made me do it. No. Tell God you're sorry. Be godly sorry. God hates sin. Say, God, I hate what I did. I hate the sin that I did. Please take me back, Jesus. Please. Take me, but don't you know he will? He will take you back. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But you got to have a made up mind. Hallelujah. You got to have a made up mind that you want to worship him. Hallelujah. That you want to worship him in spirit and truth. You have to have a made up mind. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That you're ready to lay aside every weight and every sin which easily besets you. Hallelujah. You want to make up your mind. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That for God you live and for God you die. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You want to make up your mind that you're ready to have have a new mind in Christ Jesus, that old things have passed away and all things have become new. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I thank God today, hallelujah, for his word. Hallelujah. For his word says you must be born again. Glory to God. The word of God says in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, you must be born again. Hallelujah. He says you must be born again. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yes, we already know that we've been born the first time from our mother's womb, but now we need to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Hallelujah. We need to be washed by the water of the word. Hallelujah. So that we can have a new mind, a new way of thinking. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So that we can live like we're Christians. We can live like we belong, hallelujah, to the Most High God. We can live, hallelujah, glory to God, like we've been forgiven of our sins. We can live like Jesus was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Glory to God, hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. But Jesus is Lord today, hallelujah, and he is such a Lord that he wants you to be saved today. He wants me to be saved. Don't you know, hallelujah, glory to God, that this thing is serious, glory to God, that if you took your last breath right now, hallelujah, it would be sealed wherever you're going. If you're going to heaven, it's sealed. If you're going to hell, it's sealed. Once you close your eyes and take your last breath, glory to God, there is no more room for repentance, hallelujah, glory to God. Once you take your last breath as you're out of here, there's no more room to repentance, glory to God. When you get in hell in the lake of fire, you can't say, God, I repent of my sins, please take me out of here, because he's giving you a chance right now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Is your name written in the Lamb's book of life? Glory to God. Do you have doubt in your mind today that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life? If you have doubt in your mind today, I offer you Jesus. Hallelujah. I offer you the opportunity right now to give your life to Jesus. Hallelujah. You don't have to wait till Sunday, because Sunday is not promised. Hallelujah. But you have right now, you have this moment, hallelujah, to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. Hallelujah. That God raised Jesus from the dead, that you can be saved. Hallelujah. You have the opportunity right now to say, Jesus, hallelujah, I have lived my life according to the way I want to live it. I have not obeyed you. I have not obeyed the pastor. I have not obeyed your word, but right now I surrender. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I surrender to you right now, Father. Hallelujah. Because I want to be saved. Hallelujah. And I want to get to know you. Hallelujah. As my God. Hallelujah. As my Savior. Hallelujah. As my deliverer. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's what I want to get to know you right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So if that's you right now, hallelujah, you can pick up the phone and you can dial in. You don't have to call in, but you can call 1-323-693-3054 and you can call and say, guess what? I want to give my life to Christ today. I want to become born again. I want to come out of the kingdom of darkness and come into the kingdom of his marvelous light right now. I want to do that because I hear the word and I want to go to heaven when I close my eyes and take my last breath. Hallelujah. Can you do that for me today? Hallelujah. If you want to be saved, just dial this number, 1-323-693-3054, and we will pray with you the prayer of faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you're backslidden and you want to come back to Jesus, you may dial 1-323-693-3054 and we will tell you how to get to Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because quiet as it's kept, hallelujah, there's only one way to the Father. Hallelujah. There's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. There is no other way. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But through Jesus Christ. Is that you today? Glory to God. Is it somebody that you know that needs to be saved? Can you call them and ask them to call this number? Can you call them to ask them to come into the chat room so that they can be saved today? Glory to God. Hallelujah. If it's somebody you know, you can put their name in the chat room. You could just give their first name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Or you could say your cousin. God knows who you're talking about. And we can pray for them. Hallelujah. That the God of this world will no longer blind them. That the God of this world will no longer keep them in darkness, that they might not hear sound doctrine, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But the Bible says there will come a time where they will not endure sound doctrine. But in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, I declare and decree that everybody listening to this broadcast, if you are not born again, that you will be born again in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. But you got to want it. Hallelujah. You got to want God. Hallelujah. You got to want to love God. Hallelujah. You got to want to come to him, not coming to him looking for houses and cars. cars and money and all of that stuff, but looking to him, hallelujah, for salvation. Glory to God, hallelujah. Because guess what? In salvation, there are benefits. Glory to God. There are benefits, hallelujah, to being in the kingdom, hallelujah, of God, hallelujah. And Matthew 6 tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You don't got to worry about your clothes. You don't got to worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink. You don't got to worry about all of that, because that will be provided for you. But God said, Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Not just seek him, but seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Glory to God. That means right living, right standing, being in right fellowship with him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because when you're serving the devil, you can't be serving God at the same time. When you're serving the devil and living like the devil, there's no way you can be serving God at the same time. I need you to understand this, that you can go to church every Sunday. You can go to Bible study every Wednesday. You can go to prayer on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, glory to God. But if you still come out the church house and you still living like the devil, you still talking like the devil, you still going places that you know you have no business going, you still doing things you have no business doing, I had to tell you today that God is not your father. The devil is your father. Hallelujah, because Jesus says you act like your father, the devil. Glory to God. We will know you by your fruit. Hallelujah. And if your fruit that you are bearing is sinful fruit, then we know who you belong to. But we're not here to judge you today. We're here to offer you Jesus. Glory to God. We're here to offer you salvation today. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because guess what? It's nothing that Teresa can do for you. I can't do nothing for you but give you the word of God. That's all I can do. I can give you the word of God as it was given to me. Glory to God. And it was the word of God. Hallelujah. And people behooving, people begging me to come in. They were begging for me to come in because they didn't want me to die and go to hell. They didn't know me from a can of paint, but they begged me to come into the kingdom of God. They begged me to come out of darkness and into the marvelous light. They begged me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This was in 1988. They begged me to come out of darkness. They say, won't you come into the kingdom? Won't you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And I ran from them. I say, these people are crazy. They don't know what they're talking about. I'm only 23 years old. What I want to be in the kingdom of God for? I got too much living to do. I still got to go to the club. I still got to party. I still got to be with my man. I still got to do this and I still got to do that. What I want with Jesus. Hallelujah. But glory to God. If I knew then what I knew now, let me tell you this. I went through the motions. Yes, I did. I went to church and I got baptized in Jesus' name. Yes, I did. And a little time after that, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. But guess what? Hallelujah. I did not seek Jesus with my whole heart. I did not continue with Jesus. So when I went to Germany, I was just kind of poof, out there on my own, living the way Teresa wanted to live. Yes, I was out there doing it all, what I was big enough to do, glory to God. But one day, hallelujah, glory to God, the Spirit of God came to me, hallelujah, and let me know, hallelujah, that if I died, my soul was going to hell. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I had to get that thing right. Hallelujah. Because number one, I don't like the heat. And glory to God, I know that it's hot in hell. I know in that lake of fire, that's going to be a fire that you can't put out. Hallelujah. Not going to be no air conditioner down there. Not going to be the Mr. Goodman ice cream truck, Mr. Good Bar ice cream truck, Mr. Softy either. Hallelujah. It's going to be hot. It's not going to be putting out no flames. It's going to be weeping and gnashing of the teeth. And it's not going to be able, we're not going to have a chance. Whoever's in the lake of fire, and I ain't saying me, devil, you's a lie. Whoever's in the lake of fire, not going to have a chance to come out of there. Not going to have a chance to come out of there. You might as well go on and do it now. You might as well go on and do it now. You might as well go on and bow now. Go on and give it to Jesus right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God, because for real, your life don't belong to you anyway. Hallelujah. You're going to serve one or the other. Hallelujah. And if you're not serving God, then who you're serving? It's time for introspection. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Welcome to everybody in the chat room. Guest 3668. Evangelist Kiki Darlington and Patriot Greg, welcome to you in the chat room today. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And Evangelist Kiki, if you'd like to call in, 1-323-693-3054 is the number. And my husband, hallelujah, Bishop Scott, I almost said apostle, so that must be coming down. But he is on the line as well today. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I thank God, hallelujah, for my husband. I thank God for what he's doing. I thank God for everything that he's doing, because guess what? On this day, March the 14th, 2012, glory to God. Hallelujah. I am born again, and it didn't have to be this way. My mom has 13 children. 13, 11 are still living. And most of them will not turn their lives over to Jesus. I'm not saying that to be talking about my siblings, because that's my flesh and blood. But I have preached Jesus to them, and they still just be gone. They don't want to be bothered. But I tell you today, I believe God. I believe God. I believe that my siblings will be saved. I believe that. But they got to want to be saved. Glory to God. And just like you and just like me, we got to want to be saved. We got to want this Jesus so much. We got to want him, not because we want to escape the fires of hell. Yes, all of us want to escape that. But we got to get to know him so that we can love him. So that we can love him. He wants us to love him. God is not asking for that much from us. He's not asking more than he gave. He gave so much, we can never do enough to pay him for what he did. We can never do enough. But he loved us so much even before we hit earth in the form of a baby. Even before we hit our parents' womb. Even before they hit their parents' womb. And even before their parents hit their parents' womb. God had us in mind. He had us in mind. Yes, he did. And because of that, I stand saved today. I believe I am saved. I believe that when I take my last breath, I believe I'm going to heaven. I believe that. Yes, I do. I believe that. Yes, I do. Glory to God. If you know anybody that needs to be saved, call their names out when you pray. Call their names out when you pray. Call their names out when you pray. And ask God to save them. Ask God to remove the spiritual blinders from their eyes, because Satan had blinded them. Ask God. Ask God. Hello, Bishop Scott. How are you? Bishop Scott. Okay. I don't know where he disappeared to. But one moment. Bishop Scott.
I've been listening to your program.
You're on the line, sir.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the line.
Okay. I'm glad. I'm really encouraged by what you've been talking about. That we need to look at take an inventory of ourselves, and then to just get ourselves right with the Lord. Holiness is not just a word; it's a lifestyle, and we need to become more and more holy every single day. It's a lifelong adventure. It's a lifelong achievement, if you will, that we never actually ever fully say, okay, I've arrived. We falter along the way. We sometimes backslide in the sense of we failed today. We didn't do what we were supposed to do, or did do things that we weren't supposed to do, whatever the case may be. And every day it's a renewing. It's a renewing. It's a reestablishing again those things that God would have us to do. I'm enjoying this little series that you're having on salvation. I think the world needs to hear it, and we who are believers need to hear it. That salvation is an ongoing process in some ways. Yes, once you accept Christ into your life, that moment you are saved. Oh, but the perfection of salvation, the perpetuation of salvation, the growing of salvation is every single day, because it's a total experience, not just a one-time happening. Oh, yeah, we're saved to go to heaven. We're saved to meet Christ in the sky when he breaks open that sky at rapture. We're saved for all of that. But the salvation piece, if you would look at all the 69 principles and precepts that go along with salvation, it's a lifelong experience. It's a lifelong experience because it's being saved to a different lifestyle. It's being saved to a different way of talking, a different way of acting, a different way of thinking. That's what we're being saved to. Salvation of our spirits, of our souls, happens when we accept Christ into our lives. But salvation of every aspect of ourselves is an ongoing thing. We have to get a handle on our talk. That's a salvation piece. We have to get a handle on how we walk. That's a salvation piece. We have to get a handle on what we do. That's a salvation piece. We're being saved and we're being perfected every single day. Sanctification. There's an instant sanctification. There is a perpetual sanctification. And then there's a future sanctification. And so it is with salvation. There's a whole lot of things we need to be saved from. Mainly the works and the desires of the flesh. That's what we need to be saved from. For everything is rooted in that. I was thinking just today, I said, you know, the first sin, if you will, happened as a result of Satan, then Lucifer's pride. And pride has been our downfall all the time. I believe every sin is rooted in pride. Every sin is rooted in the I, me, my concept of ourselves. Every sin has something to do with us not acknowledging whose we are, what we are actually in relationship to him, and even in our relationship with one another. So I believe that this could go on forever, this salvation series, this salvation call could go on forever. But this is when you think you've arrived. That's when you can find something else to begin to save yourself from. That's when you can find something else to be delivered from. But that's all salvation is deliverance. Deliverance from sin, deliverance from ways we act, deliverance from our old nature. We're being delivered. We're being taken from one place to another. And every wrong goes higher and higher. That's the old song that we sang. That's what the Bible in Genesis tells us. Jacob's ladder goes higher and higher. It never stays at the first step. You got to keep on climbing to reach the top. And heaven is a long ways off from this mundane shore called earth. We got to do a lot of stepping. We got to climb a lot of mountains. We have to overcome a lot of things in order to finally reach it. And I finally hear him say, good and faithful servant, well done. You've been faithful over a few things. Now, come on up and be ruler over many. God bless you, evangelist. I appreciate the opportunity to speak just for a moment, and we look forward to speaking in the future. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. You know, one day I just want to just have a broadcast and have people on and ask them, do you remember what you were doing or what your experience was when you decided to become born again? I think that would be a good program because, one, it's good to go back. Sometimes, you know, there's a song called Take Me Back, Dear Lord, to the Place, you know, where I first believed and where I first received you by the Hawkins Singers. And sometimes we need to reflect back on that to, you know, because when we first accepted Jesus Christ, we were on fire. We were in love. We just had zeal without knowledge. And we just wanted to just be on fire for God. And then we get in the Lord and become complacent. We don't want to tell anybody about Jesus. I remember when I really got saved for real, I wanted to tell everybody about this Jesus. I wanted everybody to know about this Jesus and what he did for me. I mean, he took the taste of alcohol out my mouth. He took the smoking out my mouth. He took the promiscuity out of me. Like, just all of that. He just took it all away from me. And I just wanted to tell people about this Jesus. I wanted to let them know about this man that I met, hallelujah, that wasn't looking for, you know, sex. He wasn't looking for nothing. He was just wanted me to be saved. And I was so diligent about telling people about Jesus. I was on the radio back then and day. And so this is natural doing this. But we used to do television broadcasts. Gerald and I did a couple of broadcasts on cable access television. And I just remember the fire. We just used to tell people about Jesus everywhere we went. And then at some point in my life, I don't know what happened. I just stopped telling people about Jesus. It's like, whoa. But, you know, we're not supposed to go on hiatus when it comes to talking about Jesus. We're not supposed to take a vacation when it comes to telling people about salvation. We're not supposed to go on hiatus when it comes to telling people, you know what Jesus did for you when he died on that cross? Do you know what Jesus really did for you when he bore those stripes and those wounds? Do you know what Jesus really did for you? But see, we tend to forget because we've been in this thing called salvation for so long, for many years. And I know my husband's been in salvation for at least 57 years. And that's a long time. But sometimes we just become complacent and be like, you know, I'm saved. I go to church every Sunday. I go to prayer on Tuesday and I go to Bible study on Friday. I'm good. No, God wants us to have that fire within us so we can go out there and tell other people about this Jesus. But we got to get back on fire about this Jesus. We got to get back on fire for him. We got to get back to the place where we're, you know, oh my gosh, it's a fire and it's a burning. Like, what is it, Jeremiah? Was it Jeremiah? Ezekiel?
Yeah.
Jeremiah said it's like
fire shut up in my bones. Right.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I'm telling you, when I start talking about Jesus, it's like a fire shut up in my bones. Glory to God. And it's so funny that, like, even on my job, the guards, they run from me now. It's so funny because they just run. Because they asked me things, and they said, well, what's your opinion about this? And I said, it's not my opinion. It's the word of God. You got to hear what the word of God say. God says you can't dip and dive. You can't slip and slide. You got to be in him or not in him. That's what the word of God says. I didn't make that up. You either saved or you're not saved. And that's what I'm telling you today. Jesus says you must be born again. Are you born again or are you not? Just tell the truth. Glory to God. Are you walking in true holiness and righteousness? Are you walking in the spirit and not in the flesh? What is it that you're doing? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Examine your own life because I'm examining mine. Am I, hallelujah, a Christian? Am I a light sitting on a hill that cannot be hid? Glory to God. And I want to let you know that I will not let another person lay on their deathbed without having to tell them about Jesus first. I will not. Today is one of my sister's birthday, one of my older sister's birthday. I don't even know her phone number. You know that's a shame that I don't know my older sister's and brother's phone numbers. But I'm going to find their numbers, and I'm going to get in touch with them, and I'm going to tell them about this Jesus that I know. You know what? God did not give me a spirit of fear, but sometimes when it's people closer to you, you kind of get a little hesitant about talking to them because their reaction could be a little bit different than you out there talking to a stranger. Pretty much if you're talking to a stranger and a stranger is not receiving what you say, pretty much you can just go ahead on and be okay with that. But when you're talking to your family and your family don't want to hear what you got to say, then I sometimes have a problem with that. But I'm going to go to my family, and if any of them are listening today, I'm coming to you. If I have to come and knock on your door, I'm coming to your house. I'm coming to your house. I'm getting on the phone, and I'm talking to you because I want you to be saved. I got a sister and a brother in a grave right now. Well, my brother, Tommy, I did not witness to him. I did not witness Jesus to him. I didn't see him that often, but when I saw him, I did not specifically say, Tommy, are you saved? Let me offer you Jesus today. I didn't do that. Lynette, when she passed, I saw on her door that somebody had gotten to her. She had been baptized. She had given her life to Jesus, and she had the date on a piece of paper, her certificate on her door. So I felt okay knowing that somebody had offered Jesus to her. But I got brothers and sisters, hallelujah, and I got nieces and nephews. I got nephews in prison that I've sent letters to, and I'm going to send more letters to them and ask them if they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I got neighbors around here that I'm going to ask them, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior? Because I don't have to wait till I go to nations. I don't have to wait until I go to another country. I don't have to wait till I go to another state and go to Hollywood so I can talk to Hollywood when I got people right here going to hell in front of my face. Going to hell in front of my face. Our neighbor across the hall from us committed suicide. And I know my husband offered him Jesus. I know my husband ministered to him. But he took his own life. He took his own life because those demons had him so far gone, he didn't know what else to do. He let them throw him in front of the train. And this day, he is dead.
Amen.
I don't need another person taking their lives, and we were right there around them and didn't offer them Jesus. I don't want their blood on my hands. This is what another reason why we're doing Blog Talk Radio, because we want to offer Jesus. We want as many people to hear the gift of salvation, the call to repentance as possible, because souls need Jesus. They need Jesus. They need Jesus. They need Jesus. They need Jesus wherever you work. Glory to God. They need Jesus, Lord, when on the bus, wherever you ride in the bus. Yes, they play their loud music and sing their songs. I'll be on the bus. I'll be clapping my hands and stomping my feet and singing my song. And God knows I can't sing anymore, but I'll be trying. But I'm singing them songs because I'm praising my Lord. If you want to praise your God, I can praise my God too. Hallelujah. We know it's no competition because we know that our Father in heaven, He has all power. There is no competition between God and Satan. Can I say that? There is no God versus Satan. Hallelujah. How can it be a God versus Satan? Well, God created Lucifer. Lucifer was a created being. There is no, if you were created, you are not my equal. You are not my equal. I birthed my children. Y'all are not my equal. I'm your mama. You are not my equal. I need you to understand that. And that's the same thing with God. We are not God's equal. We are His children. Satan is not God's equal. Okay, it ain't no beat down, smack down. God got all power. God got all authority. Satan, over you, Lucifer, you was kicked out. Because, like my husband said, because of pride. And don't you know it's going to be people because of pride that's going to be sitting in hell, that's going to be sitting in a lake of fire, begging to get out? But because of pride, you won't turn your life over to Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Because of pride, because of what your friends going to say. Yo, we don't take all that. Yo, you dope. You don't need to be doing, not. Stop. Put the brakes on. Because guess what? While your homie down there burning in the lake of fire, you could be lifting your hands, worshiping the Almighty God. Enjoying life in a new heaven and a new earth. Enjoying your mansion in heaven. Receiving your crowns. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because as quiet as it's kept, hallelujah, it ain't going to be no party in hell. It ain't going to be no party in hell. They not going to be passing the 2-1-1 around or whatever that thing is they drinking now. It used to be Four Loko. They're not going to be passing around Four Locos and 2-11s. They're not going to be passing the weed. They're not going to be passing the Dutchie on the left-hand side. They're not going to be doing all of that, okay? They're going to be crying, talking about, Jesus, where you at? Jesus, can you come get me now? Jesus, can you just give me some water? Can you help me? I'm sorry. I should have listened. Nope, it's going to be too late. Why not do it now? Why not do it today? Why not do it now? Why not do it today? Why not? Why not? Why not?
Evangelist?
Yes, let me speak to Evangelist Kiki for a second because she has to run. I thank you so much for your support, Evangelist Kiki, and thank you for being here today. So go ahead and run, and you know we're going to preach this gospel. We're going to preach the gospel. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And let me know again on the date where you're coming on. Glory to God. Hi, Deaconess Lisa. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You must be born again. Go ahead, Bishop.
No, I was just going to, I've almost forgot what I was going to say. I was just going to just piggyback on what you're saying about we have to be born again. And born again means a new way of looking at things. A lot of times when we talk about being, one thing I did want to say, and then I'll let you go. But I did want to say this. That a lot of times we have to, as you said, we have to take it to the streets. We have to take it to the nursing home. We have to take it to people. I know a lot of my friends who are physically challenged, both past and present, they don't know much about Christ. I mean, their condition, their circumstances, their situation has made it so that they have, some of them have doubt. Some of them have tried other things that have tried to mask their hurt, whether it be drinking, whether it be drugs, whether it be taking medications, both prescription and illegal, that mask the hurt that they're feeling, mask the inadequacies that they may be feeling. And I really have, listening to you and listening to the Lord and the Holy Spirit, I'm recommitting myself to making this thing really alive and vital to those type of people. There's so many people out there that life has really dealt them a crushing blow. I look at those girls that are now pregnant, and those that are homeless, and those that are runaways, and those that are disenfranchised for one reason or another. They were abused at home, or some father or uncle molested them, or something of that nature. And I look at the hurt, and I look at the pain, and I said, what is the Christ in us doing about that? We know what Christ would do. We need to look at what would Christ do in circumstances like that. Look what he did with the woman who was caught in adultery. Look what he did with the woman by the well. Look what he did over and over again. We talk about the miracles of physical healings and all of that, but he did a lot of things with people's souls and their spirits, and the way the outlook and how they should look at life and how they should look at their situation and their circumstances. He taught more about that than the miracles that we want to be, you know, talking about. We know about the miracles. We know about the great healings, the raising of the dead. But how many dead people in their spirits did he raise? How many people that were broken in their spirit did he make whole again? And that's one thing that I think that it would help us, because a lot of times Christians are, I'll be honest with you, I've been in this thing since 1964 in terms of actual ministry, and no longer than that in terms of me walking with Christ. And one thing I've noticed that many times we who are believers, we're believers for our own sake. We become very parochial. We become very selfish with our, almost like a miser with what God does for us. But in order to be blessed and to be blessed the way God wants us to be blessed, we have to be willing to be a blessing. And I think a lot of times we become despondent, we become depressed, we become a woe is me type of people, very pessimistic, very don't look at the bright side of virtually anything. Every time you ask, how you doing? Oh, man, I could tell you this and I could tell you that. You know, part of it is because we're not sharing the good news. We're quicker to share the bad news, ironically, about our own situations.
That's right.
And how can we be a testimony? How can we be a testimony how God can change you and turn your life around and can take all of your problems and your hurts and your complaints and make them of no effect? How can we really testify to that when every time someone asks you how you doing, oh, my God, do you got enough time for me to tell you?
Yes.
You know, there's something wrong. If we can get ourselves off of ourselves, if we can get our attention off of us and look at somebody else and meet somebody else's need. I know a few weeks ago we were blessed, about a month ago now, we were blessed, my wife and I, and in a blessing, an unforeseen manner from unforeseen people. I mean, there were people that we did not know personally, maybe one person out of all of the hundreds of people that helped and showed their love towards us. We may have known one or two people. Others we've heard about, they've had reputations, and most we didn't know anything about. They were just ordinary folk. But one thing I said to my wife, and she concurred completely, I said, we have to be a blessing to somebody else. We cannot receive this special surprise blessing, a miracle, I called it, and I believe it was. Well, we can't just hoard that to ourselves. Oh, thank you, God, for blessing us. We needed this and we needed that, and you blessed us. Thank you. Now let's do shopping. I said, oh, no.
You know I wanted to go shopping.
You know, but we have to put some of this back. We have to put something back and show somebody else that we care about you, too, as others cared about us. So we went out along with our grandchildren, and we went up and down 9th, 7th, and 8th of Market Street, passing out cards and passing out little bonuses that we received, passing them all out. We got some more to give. We got some more to give. I want to give more. And even after that's run out, when God blesses us, I want to get some more. I want to get some more. And continue that venture of sharing what we have. I pledged myself, and I talked to the director. I said, I'm gonna get on board. I want to do something. I cannot just – I'm a funny person anyway. I just don't like for someone just to bless me and not me do something in return for somebody else, even if it's not them per se, somebody else to take this blessing and say, here you are, here's a little bit of blessing to you too. Here you are, let's share this blessing. Because that's how it's supposed to be. For God so loved the world that he gave. He didn't sit up in his ivory tower in heaven on his mighty throne in glory and just say, boy, I wish I could help those folks. I know they're going astray. I know we're now, our relationship is now severed. They're separated from me. There is no longer fellowship between me and man. Boy, I wish things could be different. He just didn't do that. Shake his head and then turn to the next channel where he could watch a comedy, a club event. No, he did something about it. The first thing he did, he sent the law. Second thing he did was sent the prophets. And then ultimately he sent his only begotten son when man refused to heed the call. And I'm going to say something else. And this is what I wanted to say in the beginning, if you allow me, Evangelist.
The final
point I want to make is this. Many people say, well, God's mercy is going to plead our case and God wouldn't send anybody to hell. And that's not who he is. And in the end, love's going to lift us and universal salvation and all of that type of thing. It's not God that sends us to hell. It's not going to be God that sends us to the lake of fire. It's not going to be because he's heartless and he's unloving and he's unmerciful. That's not why we're going to go. And I'm going to tell you something else and I'm through. God, in the word, it says, God's delaying his judgment. You know, Paul and Peter and James and Bartholomew and Thaddeus, they were looking for him to come during their lifetime. That was 2,000 years ago. They were looking for him to come during their lifetime. If you look at Paul's letters, if you look at the book of James and other books of the Bible, you can see they were looking at his second coming happening quickly during their lifetime. And yet here it is, over 2,000 years now since Christ was crucified on the cross and ascended into heaven. Over 2,000 years later, he still is delaying. Why is he delaying? Because he loves us so much that he doesn't want it to be just that group, but he wants it to be available to everyone. He says he's not going to even let Christ come again until everyone has heard the message. He wants everybody to have the opportunity. As Evangelist said, no, everybody's not going to heaven, but we don't know who it is that's not. So we're supposed to witness as though everybody has the same chance of getting there. You understand what I'm saying, dear hearts? We're supposed to witness. We're supposed to bring the word to everybody because we don't know who God knows will accept him. We don't know who's going to accept Christ as a Savior. It might be that guy on death row that you just swear up and down. There ain't no way in heaven. He's going to heaven. Well, I'm here to tell you, dear hearts, some of those folks that you think going to heaven, because what was that old saying? Everybody talking about heaven ain't going there. Some folks that you think are going to heaven because they know how to run the game, they know how to talk, they know the rhetoric, they know how to act in public, they know how to dress, they know how to speak with eloquent words of holiness and sanctification, but their lives don't meet up with what they're saying. And yet others, like that publican that the Pharisee looked down on so disparagingly in the Bible, he said he's going to be exalted. That's what Christ said, because one thought he himself to be something, while the other knew he was nothing but was willing to become something through accepting Christ in his life. The other man didn't need nobody, he didn't need no help, because he thought he had it all. The man who knows that he's not where he needs to be is the man that will become all God wants him to be. So before you get too haughty with what you think you are, before you get too haughty on how far you've come, like there used to be an old ad, you come a long way, baby, but you have a long way to go. We all do. We all do. If Paul can see yet, I'm pressing to the mark of the high calling. I haven't arrived yet, if you will. If Paul can say this, the man most of the New Testament, most of our doctrines, most of our beliefs are Paulian in origin. If he can say, I'm not there yet myself, when I would do good, I choose evil. When I would speak right, I end up finding myself not speaking as right as I would like to. If Paul can say that, when I think myself strong, then I find myself weak, then how much more do we need to keep on striving? See, perfection doesn't mean that we're without spot or blemish. Perfection means I'm continuously maturing in my faith. I'm different today than I was yesterday, and I'm going to be different tomorrow than I was today, and I'm going to be different next week than I was last week, next month than I was last month, next year better than I was the year before, and on and on and on, until finally that great getting up morning when our lives are over, whether it's as someone predicts, it'll be a collective thing or not. Because I'm going to tell you, Dale Hart, everybody has a rapture day, and most of us have a rapture day before the rapture. Meaning this, we're gone out of this world before that great getting up morning. So while we have life, don't worry about what year, what day, what month, and fret over those kind of things. If you live right, I don't care whether it's today. If he comes crashing through the sky, to me, it's a sad thing. It's a sad commentary, evangelist. That the believer gets scared about him coming back. That's a sad thing.
Yes, it
is. When a believer gets worried.
Yes, it is.
Oh, my God. He's coming back tomorrow. Oh, you hear what they say? They're watching that date. The man said a few months ago, this date and then the next date. And everybody just watching and, oh, my God. Oh, my. And it's the same. I ain't talking about the world. I can understand. I'm getting filled with trepidation, fear, anxiety, paranoia. But it was the saints that were getting all kabubulated and all perplexed and, oh, my God, have I lived right enough? Well, that's a sad thing right there. If you haven't lived right yesterday, get better today and keep on getting better each and every day. Get closer to the Lord. Read your word. Stay in your prayer. Stay on your knees. Stay up in a positive way. Help somebody else along the way. Be an inspiration to somebody else and not a perspiration to somebody.
My Lord.
And you'll be surprised. You'll get to a point where, come quickly, Lord. That's what Revelation says. That should be our desire. In fact, if we don't have that desire, one of the crown of rejoicing, we'll never get. Because that's supposed to be our desire. Come quickly, Lord. Not, please, Lord, not today. Now, if anyone say, come quickly, Lord, we have to, do you have to come today, Lord? Can you wait till tomorrow? Not today, please, God. Not today, please, Lord. Not today. Wait till tomorrow. Maybe next week, Lord. Maybe then I'll be fine. But please, Lord, not today.
I actually did that. That's not funny, but I actually did that. When I was in California, there was an earthquake.
Okay.
And the walls of the house were bending like they were paper. And the person where I was staying came down the steps in his white gown, and it was dark. It was pitch black. And all I saw was this white gal coming down the steps.
Oh, Lord.
And I was like, Jesus, is that you? I said, don't come now because I'm not ready.
Lord, did
but that. I thank God that it wasn't Jesus, because if it had been Jesus and he came back right then, I sure enough was not ready. I was not ready for that Jesus to come and take us out of here, take them, because I wouldn't have been able to go. I wasn't ready. But like you said, it has to be like, we can't be saying, Jesus, no, don't come today. We got to live our lives as if Jesus is coming in the next second, not
That's
in
right.
the next few hours. No, like he coming in the next second.
That's
we
right.
gotta, and we got to be out here doing what we're supposed to be doing. Don't get found like the unjust steward. Don't be found. Don't take the talents that God gave you and dig them in the ground and hide them, and you're not getting any increase or any interest off of it. Don't do that. For a long time, I didn't understand that story. I was like, well, why would God be mad if they hid the talents under the ground? Well, you didn't get nothing from it. There was no increase. I gave that to you to make an increase. I made that for you to get interest.
Okay.
I want interest off of what I gave you. I gave you. If you can sing, you need to be out there singing for the Lord. If you can
That's
witness,
right.
you need to be out there witnessing for the Lord. If you don't even think you are bold enough to go out there and talk to people about Jesus, live your life so good that people will want to know Jesus. And then when they come to you, the Holy Spirit will give you exactly what to say to those people so that they can be born again. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You think because you're not on a pulpit or on a TV or on the radio or whatever, that you're not going to be effective. If God gave you that gift, then he's going to use you to be effective. Glory to God. That's what I like about Macarius Dove. Glory to God. that these young people are coming and young people are hearing the word of God. Young people are going to be saved and delivered, and their families are going to be saved. God
Amen.
Is going to use young people to come forth and minister to their families so that their families can be saved. Glory to God. Because it's about salvation. All this prosperity teaching and all of this other stuff, okay, you got that. You want to do that, you go ahead and do that. But at the end of the day, I don't care how much prosperity you teach, that prosperity is not going to get you to heaven, because Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these pastors riding around in Bentleys, all these pastors riding around in these Mercedes and BMWs or whatever it is they riding around in, and you got people sitting in your church poor as a church mouse, can't make ends meet, don't have food in their closet. They eating cat food. They eating dog food. Their lights in their
They don't meet the dog.
Their gas is in it, and their lights are shut off. But you riding around in a Bentley, and you talking about prosperity.
Right.
But these people are losing their lives, and they're turning away from God because all they see you is increasing in things, and their lives are being lost because you can't even pray with them. You can't even tell them about the goodness of Jesus. You need to go sell your Bentley and give these people in your church things, and they're giving you their tithes and their offerings every Sunday, and you're not even helping them. That's not what God is looking for. Somewhere along the way, Satan then came in and twisted these people's minds and got them teaching about all this other stuff. When you got souls turning away from God every day because of what they see their leaders doing, they see you doing this mess, and they're turning away from you because you're not living right.
Amen. Let me say this, just to piggyback what you're saying. That is absolutely true. That is absolutely true. And nobody's saying that you should not prosper. But Christ made it very clear when he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. And you quoted it earlier today. And then all these things shall be added unto you. He knows. He said, if I can watch over the sparrow, if I can make sure that lily of the field is taken care of, who has no soul, who has no spirit, who has no future, who has no real purpose in the fullness of God's plan, as we do, if I can take care of them, I know how many wings that bird over there has, how many feathers that bird over there has. If I know all of that about that thing, how much more do I know about your things? How much more do I know about the problems you have and the situation that you have and the things that you desire and also need? I know that, but you don't seek me. You're seeking after that. You're putting the cart before the horse. I'm here to tell you, you better put the horse before the cart, because a cart can't push the horse. The horse has to pull the cart.
And that's the truth. We have to get our minds on Jesus. We got to get our minds on Jesus and not stuff. Because
Go back to the first century, church evangelist. Go back to the first century. They sold all that they had.
They sold everything. Because
everything.
Their minds and their ministry was on Jesus. It wasn't.
That's why they had 3,000 people in one day. That's why churches increased by 3,000 in a day.
We can't even get people to come together in the thousands like that unless it's a feel-good message, unless you not get ready to say nothing to offend my flesh, unless you're going to see Tyler Perry, you know, where they do a little bit of this and a little bit of that. You know, you can't get people together to come for righteousness' sake. If we say, if we put out there on the billboard right now, meet us at the Leah Corvus Center, meet us out at the Philly Stadium or at the football stadium, meet us out there on Sunday, whatever Sunday's date is, this coming Sunday, meet us out there, because we're kind of going to go there and we're going to pray. We're going to seek God for holiness and righteousness. Do you think that place will be filled?
Nope.
Now, what's that boy name that be on TV that's smiling all the time? That reverend
Joel Osteen.
If I told you Joel Osteen was coming, the church would be packed. But if I said we're coming in this stadium and we're coming to repent before the most holy, true, and living God, we're coming to repent, we're going to ask God for forgiveness, we're going to come to God because we're seeking for true righteousness and holiness, how many people you think will be there?
Not many. We'd have to have a gimmick. We'd have to have a catch, like they say in the entertainment world. We'd have to have a catch. We'd have to have somebody, Benny Hinn doing a miracle, somebody doing something, a man pulling a rabbit out the hat or something. We'd have to have something besides being people praying. How do we know? Because in our own churches, how many come to prayer meeting of your members? How many come to Bible study of your members? I've been in churches where they had 1,000 members, and if you have 20 members come to Bible study, you're doing good. And they have 1,000 people. 1,000 people.
Glory, 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 glory. This don't make, I'm telling you.
I've been
honey,
there.
Honey, let me tell you something. There's somebody in the chat room. Jesus is my rock. Welcome, Jesus, my rock.
Amen.
Jesus is my rock. To the broadcast. He says that he want Jesus to come now, except he want his family to be saved. And I understand that. I know that's the truth.
That's right.
Jesus, I want you to come too. I want you to come too, but we still got people that we know that need to be saved. Glory to God. And then Jesus is my rock, is saying, not just go, he's saying a lot. Yes, Lord Jesus, we must help others. Yes, help us live right for you, Jesus. We pray for a clean heart and a right spirit. Yes, yes, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. What a super thing to do for Jesus, and not just go to worship at church, but get out from behind the four walls. And this
right.
is something that we need to do. And I remember in church on Sunday, our own evangelist, Clara Kenning, was preaching, and she said, the word of God says it compelled, go out and compel them to come in. Go out. You got to go out there in the street and bring those people in. You got to go out in the street and tell them about Jesus. Not every person you tell about Jesus is going to come into the four walls anyway, because they done been burnt by folk in the four walls. So not everybody coming back in them four walls. But you can tell them about Jesus. You can tell them about the Savior of the world. You can tell them that Jesus died for their sins and he went to hell. He took the keys to hell, death, and the grave. You can tell them that by Jesus' stripes, you are healed. You are healed from this sin. You are healed from iniquity and transgression. We can go out there and take it to the streets. And you know what popped in my mind? And if I can, I'm going to do this on Saturday morning, whether I go by myself or somebody go with me. I'm going to take, I got some cardboard in my house right now, and I'm going to put on those signs. I'm going to say, you must be born again. And I'm going to have the scripture there, and I'm going to have my tracts in my hand at 9 o'clock. At 69th Street, that's where I'm going to be, walking up and down 69th Street at 9 o'clock. And if I can't get to 69th Street, I'm going to go down 8th and Market, and I'm going to walk up and down the street with my sign on the front of me and the back of me that says, you must be born again. That's what I'm going to do Saturday. That's what I'm going to do, and people can decide whether they want Jesus or not. And if they want more information, I will be standing there to give them information. If you would like to join me, hit me up on Facebook on my inbox, and we will get together, and we will go there. Those of you that live in the Philadelphia area, I don't know, you know, everybody in the chat room where you live or what your plans are for Saturday, but glory to God, we got to work while it is day, because when the nighttime comes, no man can work. We got to work while we got the opportunity, glory to God, not wait for 10 years and say, I wish I had done this and I wish I had done that. Jesus has given us the opportunity right now by his Holy Spirit to get out there and compel them to come in. Babe, find that scripture for me, please, to compel them to come in.
St. Luke chapter 14. That's our scripture that our whole ministry stands on.
Let's read it.
Okay.
We want to read it. If you have your Bibles, please get it. Luke chapter 14. We have to get it.
And we're
going to
begin it.
Get it.
We're going to have to begin around verse 30. Let me get it real quickly, because this is our ministry's main theme. This in St. Matthew chapter 25. Those two chapters are our theme chapters, if you will. Let me get it very quickly. Here we are right here. Got it right now. See how good God is? See how good God is? I turn right to it. I got to take my glasses off because I can see better without them. Turning the page. It's talking about the story of the great feast. This is what it says. Hearing this, this begins at verse 15. This is what they said. Hearing this, a man sitting at the table with Jesus exclaimed, "What a privilege it would be to have a share in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied with this illustration. A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. When all was ready, he sent his servant around to notify the guests that it was time for them to come. But they all began making excuses. One said he had just bought a field and wanted to inspect it, so he asked to be excused. Another said he had just bought 5 pair of oxen and wanted to try them out. And another had just been married, so he said he couldn't come. The servant returned and told his master what they had said. His master was angry and said, "Go quickly into the streets and alleys of the city and invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind." After the servant had done this, he reported, "There is still room for more." So his master said, "Go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come so that the house will be full, for none of those I invited first will get even the smallest taste of what had been prepared for them.
My Lord.
Whoa.
Wow.
For none of them that have been invited first will even get the smallest taste of what I had prepared for them.
Lord, he said, go. In verse 21, go out quickly into the street. He said, go out quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. The poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. You know we got people that's poor in spirit, maimed in the spirit, halt in the spirit, blind in the spirit. Folks walking around just as blind and broke up in the spirit. I remember I was at somebody's conference, a woman's conference, and I preached at a conference, and I said, if y'all really knew how you looked in the spirit, you'd be on your face right now crying out to Jesus because you're all bent over, you're broken over in the spirit, and on the outside you look good. You got your hat on, you got your hair on, you got your eyelashes on, you got your best dress on, you got your nice shoes on, all that stuff you got going on the outside, but on the inside you're jacked up. You're messed up, you toe up from the flow up, and this is what's happening to a lot of people, but it's happening because we won't go out there and tell them about Jesus. We won't go out there and tell them about the goodness of the Lord. We want to keep this to ourselves, but guess what? I declare and decree today in the name of Jesus that everybody that I know that is born again, that we're going out there and we're going to compel them to come in. We're going to compel them to come in. We're going to compel them to come in because guess what? If we don't, we're being disobedient. This is Jesus. This is what God, this is rebellion. Rebellion and disobedience. Rebellion and disobedience when we don't go out there and tell people about Jesus. You don't have to have a microphone. You don't have to have, you know, stand behind a pulpit. You don't have to be on the radio. If I didn't do Blog Talk Radio again, I'd be out there on the streets. But guess what? Evangelist Kenning said it Sunday. He said, she kept saying, get out there on that corner. Get out there on that corner. Get out there on that corner and tell people about Jesus. Get out there. We in at our home looking at cable. We sitting in the house looking at cable. You know, we sitting in the house doing what we do on Facebook all day long. We sitting up here doing, some of us work so much we don't even know what the inside of our Bible look like anymore. Some of us don't even know, you know, what Jesus. We turn on the station, the cable stations, and Jesus is on. We turn away from that. I don't want to see that. I'd rather see Mr. Brown. I'd rather see them acting a fool on TV. And that ain't got nothing to do with the people's salvation standing outside. Now, I'm not saying anything against what you want to look at on television. That's your business. But you ought to take some time to be out there talking about Jesus, talking about this Savior that you serve, telling other people about Jesus, hallelujah, and what he did, about what he did on the cross. What did it mean?
Amen.
For Jesus dying on that cross. Did he just
Amen.
Do it on the cross so people could walk around with a cross on their neck? No, the Bible says you're
no.
not supposed to make unto you any graven image of anything in heaven or in earth. He said don't make no graven image of that stuff anyway. But people walking around with crosses on their chest and still living like the devil. People walking around with crosses on their chest and you can't tell that they're a Christian nowhere, shape, or form about them. Because they out there cursing with the rest of them. They out there hoeing with the rest of them. They out there lying and stealing and doing whatever it is they doing with the rest of them. Glory to God. But I'll tell you this, hallelujah, if God has put a word in your mouth, and you're responsible to get that word out there in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because somebody's waiting on you,
That's
girl.
Right.
Somebody's waiting on me, Teresa. Somebody's waiting on you, 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 and you, and you. Somebody's waiting on you
Amen.
To tell them about salvation. Somebody's waiting for you to offer
right.
the free gift. And let me tell you this. There is nothing you can do other than believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. I don't care how much you give to TBN. I don't care how much you give to Paula White. I don't care how much you give to Haiti. I don't care how much you give to the orphanages and to the poor. I don't care how much you give. None of that stuff is where your salvation comes from. That is because of your salvation. That is not what gets you saved. Can we make that clear? Because it's people going around thinking that because they gave to the poor, because they gave to the hungry, because they fed the naked, that makes you saved. That is not what makes you saved, because the devil can give out clothes. The devil can feed the hungry. Do you hear what I'm saying to you?
And yet, Evander, let me say this. And yet the paradox is this. Like you say, that is all expression of our faith. That's an expression of our faith. But the paradox is this. Two passages of the Bible make it clear, the one we just read and St. Matthew chapter 25. But if you don't do that, if you don't do that, after you've gotten the salvation piece together, after you've accepted Christ as your Lord and living Savior, then you have to express that by sharing that with others. Because the Word says this. Not only can you go to hell if you don't, if you're not holy, if you're a whoremonger, if you're a prostitute, if you're homosexual, and all the other things that we murderer and a thief and a liar and all of that, but you also can be denied going to hell. Remember the goat and the sheep of St. Matthew. They didn't say they did anything that was evil, wrong, or corrupt, neither the goat nor the sheep. What their penalty was what? Because one helped others and the other one didn't. So it's like James said, faith without works is dead. You first get the faith. You first get the peace on salvation. Once again, we're talking about first things first. Get that first, seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things, including helping others. All these things, including being kind and going to the prisons. Everything else comes after you accepting the kingdom of God in your life and be living a righteous and holy life. Everything else comes next. But let me say this, just like I said in the beginning, this is where salvation is perpetuated. It's not just you getting yours and no more. It's not just you getting in a place, a spot in God's heavenly realm. It's not all about that. After you've assured your place, then you got to make sure others get there too. Then you got to make sure that they hear the message too. It's like you're saying, the prison, not only are you supposed to feed the hungry, but you feed the hungry, and with that feeding, you show them the Christ. See, a lot of times we want to talk about the Christ. We want to preach about the Christ. We want to have a tent meeting about the Christ. But Christ is saying, I want you to show them. John said it very clearly. He said, if you don't love your neighbor, if you don't love that brother, that sister, then don't you say you love God. Don't you say you're a liar. He made it clear. He don't rub up your fibber, you're a storyteller, your truth ain't in you, like we try to make it all so eloquent and so, you know, professional. He made it like it is. He called it like, you're a liar, and the truth ain't in you. You're a liar. How can you say you love God whom you've not seen? And hate your brother, your sister, who you see every day. You ain't nothing but a liar deluding yourself.
Well, guess what? The love of God in us will compel us to go out.
Exactly.
And show.
Right.
The love of God. The love of God in us will compel us to go out there and tell others about what Jesus did on the cross. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4 says, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. If you're hiding the gospel, you're hiding it from the lost.
Exactly.
And verse 4 says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So this scripture is telling us that the God of this world have blinded their minds. The unbelievers, their minds are blinded. Satan, the God of this world, does not want the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, to shine unto them. Satan knows that the longer you shut up about the gospel, the longer they're going to be in darkness. The longer you keep your mouth shut about the gospel, the longer these people are going to stay in darkness. The longer you sit there and hold that gospel to yourself, the longer the people are going to be out there in darkness, the people that you're supposed to minister to. See, like I heard Pastor Sheila say this, or somebody said this, Pastor Evangelist Kenning, somebody said this. No, I think it was Pastor Sheila. You go to your job on time and you do what you're supposed to do at your job because you want that paycheck. Why is it we don't do what God wants us to do and go out into the streets and compel them to come in?
Why is it that we can go and work for man and take all the crap that man wants to give out, but we got a loving and a just God, and he said he wants us to go out into the hedges, into the highways, and compel them to come in? Why is it that we can't do that, knowing that at the end of the day, when it's time to go to heaven, we shall receive our rewards? The greatest reward is eternal life.
Because we don't value God like we say we do.
We don't value God, and
we don't value other people.
We don't value the lives of other
people. We don't value God like we say we do.
And we need to repent. We need to get on our knees. We need to tell God we're sorry for being disobedient and rebellious. We need to tell God, look, I haven't been witnessing to people. I don't want to witness to so-and-so because you know so-and-so. I just don't think they're going to get it. And I don't think, but it ain't your business to think whether they're going to get it or not. It's your business to give the word of God. It's your business to give the word of God. It's your business to give the word of God. Glory
Amen.
To God. Hallelujah. And like my husband said in Jonah, God told him to go to Nineveh, but Jonah didn't want to go talk to the people of Nineveh. He didn't want to talk to them.
He didn't want them saved.
I'm not going to Nineveh. What did God do? You not going? Okay, I got you, Jonah. I got you. You don't got to go. You going to run away? You trying to run? Okay, this is getting ready to happen to you. What happened? He got swallowed by a great fish.
That's right.
He got swallowed by a great fish and had to stay in that great fish for 3 days. Now, you tell me something. What you think if you was in a whale? I think I'd have dropped dead simply by having a heart attack. Because first of all, how was it? I'm sitting here in my boat, I'm sitting here in the belly of a whale, and I'm still alive. Any second, this thing could just go on and swallow me, and I'll be into his belly and his intestines and all the rest of that stuff. Any second. But now you don't need God to do. You don't want to wait for God to have to do something drastic before you get out there and do what he says do. Sometimes we wonder why our lives is all jacked up, because we're not doing what God tells us to do. We sitting here, you know, we comfortable in our homes with our Bibles. Some people's Bibles are so dusty, I don't know when the last time they read it. Some people carry their Bibles with them to church and won't even open them up. You done heard the word of God, he's telling you to do this or that, and then you're not doing it. And you're wondering why. Things are out of control and things are out of whack. And I'm not saying things are out of control and out of whack only because of that, because some people might be out there preaching the gospel and doing what God said in your life still messed up, or still some things going on in your life, but that's going to be until we reach heaven, because the enemy is on his job. But we got to be out there on the enemy's territory. Stop talking bad about them Jehovah Witnesses, because they doing what you're supposed to be doing. They going out there talking about what they believe, glory to God. And here we are, we got the truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We got the way, the truth, and the life. We got his spirit dwelling with us, dwelling within us, not just on us, within us. We got the power of God to transform lives within us. Glory to God. And the Holy Spirit reminded me, well, you're off Thursday. You could go out and do that on Thursday as well. Well, guess where I'm going to be, where the kids are in school? I'm going out on somebody's street and going to compel them to come in. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And then I'm going to tell them to find a church. Find a church that not only believes the Bible, but lives the Bible. Somebody that lives what the word of God is saying, that can teach you how to live holy, that can teach you how to live right. And if you're in the Philadelphia area and you're listening, I invite you to Straight Gate Church of Faith and Deliverance, 4649 Frankfort Avenue, where the pastor is Pastor Sheila M. Miller and the apostle is Apostle Richard T. Miller, Jr. We are 4649 Frankfort Avenue. We have services on Sunday. 10:30 is Sunday school. 12 o'clock is morning worship. We have service prayer on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. And we also have Bible study on Friday nights at 7 p.m. The address again is 4649 Frankfort Avenue. Glory to God. And if you like, hallelujah, if you can't make that, if you're in the Philadelphia area, we invite you to 4710 Locust Street on Thursday evening at 7 p.m. for Bible study with none other than Bishop Gerald William Scott, hallelujah, who is my husband. We invite you to attend at 7 p.m. on Thursday evening. If you can't do that, ask somebody in your neighborhood, ask somebody, can you please send me to a church where they not only teach the word of God, but where they live the word of God. And once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, get yourself baptized. Baptism is not what saves you, but it's an outward show of an inward decision to serve the Lord God. Hallelujah. If you're on a broadcast right now and you're not born again, let's talk about it. Let's go ahead and get saved right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because the Bible tells us in Romans 10:9-10 that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised you from the dead, you shall be saved. If you want to confess Jesus right now, confess Jesus. Say, Jesus, I just heard this lady on this broadcast. She's been talking for a long time, but I heard what she said, and I want to give my life to you. I want to stop sinning. I want to accept that free gift of salvation that you gave. Hallelujah. She said you were wounded for my transgressions and bruised for my iniquities. So I accept that. I believe that God rose you from the dead, Jesus, and now I believe that I'm saved. If you said that right now, glory to God, if you confess your sins, hallelujah, and you're repenting of your sins and you want to live for Jesus Christ, glory to God, you are saved. Hallelujah. Now find yourself a church, glory to God. Find yourself somewhere to go, hallelujah, where they teach the word and they live the word. If they're doing something at church and you ain't supposed to, run, glory to God. But I'm inviting you in the Philadelphia area, the 4649 Frankfort Avenue, hallelujah, in the Frankfort section of Philadelphia, glory to God, because I know that, hallelujah, Pastor Sheila teaches that word. She teaches that word and preaches that word, hallelujah. And I cannot say that one time that I've seen that lady live unholy. I cannot tell you one time that I've seen that lady live unrighteous. I cannot tell you that. Is she God? No, she is not. But I can tell you what I've seen, and I can tell you when the Spirit of God comes through there and he preaches and he teaches, I'm telling you there is an anointing. The anointing that has destroyed some yokes in my life, I've seen the anointing destroy some yokes in other people's lives, glory to God. And when an apostle gets up there and preaches, the anointing of God is on him, the word of God comes forth, the word of God comes forth, and you know it's straight from heaven, glory to God, hallelujah. So, if you're in the Philadelphia area, 4649 Frankfort Avenue, Straight Gate Church of Faith and Deliverance, Pastor Sheila M. Miller and Apostle Richard T. Miller Jr., if you're in the West Philadelphia area, Thursday night, 7 p.m., 4710 Locust Street, apartment 112, Bishop Gerald Scott, Bible study, Bible scholar, teacher, glory to God, hallelujah. He lives the word of God, hallelujah. He is a man of God. We've been married for almost 13 years, hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. And he is a true man of God, hallelujah. Glory to God. If you can't make those services, continue to listen to Blog Talk Radio out of a Pure Heart Ministry with your hostess, Teresa J. Scott. We are going to be having on more guests. I don't know what happened to my Pakistan person on today, but on tomorrow our guest is none other than Bishop Gerald Scott, hallelujah. He will be having the whole broadcast on tomorrow, glory to God. And then after that, we will meet with you again on Monday, if the Lord wills. And if he tells me to come on Saturday morning, I will. But if the Lord's will, you will hear again from me briefly tomorrow as I introduce my husband to be the speaker. And then again on Monday, if my schedule at work does not change, we will be doing Power Lunch with Jesus in the Word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we have 2 minutes left. If nobody has anything to say, any prayer requests or anything in the chat room, I'd like to thank everybody in the chat room for joining us. Deaconess Lisa Shaw Evans, glory to God. I bless God for you being here today. Jesus, my rock, thank you for joining us. Patriot Greg, you're always here. I love you. Thank you so much for your support. Guest 4885 and guest 4921, I don't know who you are, but glory to God, I thank you so much for popping in, hallelujah, and joining us on today, hallelujah. Evangelist Kiki Darling was here, and she was here, but she had to run, thank God. And I thank God, hallelujah, for all of you. Glory to God. My husband been on the line the whole time. I thank God for you, hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. Glory to God. It means a lot to me that you support me. I thank God for those that are being saved. If you know the word of God, go out there and teach the word of God to the nations, and you don't have to stand behind a pulpit or behind a microphone to get it done. Just go out there and get it done. Glory to God. I love you all. I appreciate you so much. You just don't know. I appreciate you so much. So with this, we're going to pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just want to thank you and praise you for your goodness and your mercy. I want to thank you for this broadcast on today. Father, I pray, Lord God, that this broadcast will reach nations. I pray, God, hallelujah, that this word will reach nations, Lord God. The people might be saved, God. in the name of Jesus. God, I pray for not only this country, Lord God, that it will reach, hallelujah, state to state to state, oh God, but that it will reach country to country to country and nation to nation to nation, God, in the name of Jesus, because it is by your word and by your spirit, hallelujah, that draws them, hallelujah. So we lift you up, Jesus, because your word says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So we lift you up, Jesus, that men might be drawn unto you. Hallelujah. I give you praise, God. I give you glory and I give you honor. Bless us as we continue on with this day. Anoint us even the more, God, that we might be lights sitting up on a hill, hallelujah, that cannot be hid. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, with thanksgiving, I offer this praise to you and say amen, amen, amen. God bless you all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have a beautiful day in the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Having my